This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 17, 2018. The third Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Generally, we gather together and we hear the word preached. It is what God says. Today I want to emphasize more how he says it frequently. Parables. Interesting to understand about parables. A lot of people look at them as little kids' stories that make it easy for little ones to understand. That's not the case whatsoever. The parables elude those who are very well learned. When our Lord Jesus Christ shared parables with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his days, why do you speak in parables? Teach us plainly. It is plain. There's nothing that's more plain than a parable. Because God brings things down to our level. That's why it's necessary. Why not just tell us plainly? You can't understand God plainly. He's God, we're not. He's infinite, we're finite. So he has to, for lack of a better term, he's got to dumb it down. All right? That's what we need. That's why parables. That's why God has used them throughout the history of salvation. In his revelation of himself to us, he always uses illustrations. Because again, we don't get heaven. We don't comprehend a spiritual realm that is outside of our temporal experience. We don't get that angels don't have bodies, that they're not given and taken in marriage like we are. That's going to be completely something that is out of the realm of our consideration when we get to heaven. But we're all bent out of shape about it on this side. Oh, am I going to be with my wife? Am I going to be with my... Till death do us part. After death, you become a brother or sister in Christ. That's what we have in the marriage relationship after that death and we part. Marriage is for here. An illustration in why we don't get what God... Because we just can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend not being with my husband or my wife. Well... Kind of work on it, because that's the way it's going to be. That's what Jesus Christ says. Some people might not have that idea. Parables. This is how God communicates to us. Parables teach us deep things about God. They teach us deep things about our church, the Roman Catholic Church, and about ourselves. They said, parables aren't something new that God uses in Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. They are what he uses throughout history. The first reading today, the prophecy of Ezekiel, way back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 17. Three verses, three. Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. In those three verses, you learn a tremendous amount about who God is, what he does for you, and his nature in three verses. You also learn about your church because he's giving us a shadowy figure of what is to come. And he tells us about ourselves in three verses where he uses a parable, something that illustrates his truth that if he tried to explain it to us in his terms, we just wouldn't get. Let's focus on that Ezekiel passage, that first reading from today. So we learn about God, the church, and ourselves. What do we learn about God there? For one thing, you cannot walk away from those three verses without understanding very, very explicitly that God is the one who is the mover and shaker, so to speak, of your salvation. He does everything for you. He calls you to himself. He gives you the grace to respond. He just expects your cooperation in that. Then he provides the sacraments to nurture you along. He does everything. That first reading, it starts the first verse. I will do this. I will do that. I will, time and time again. And then skips a verse, talks a little bit about the illustration. And then the last verse, I have done this. I will continue to do this. I am God. I think God is emphasizing that it's all about him. He does not leave any leeway whatsoever for you to think that you can approach him on your own terms or that you have some efficacious part in your salvation aside from your cooperation with what he does. That is efficacious, but you're still cooperating with what he does. This is what we learn about God. It's all about him, what he wants and what he does. We also understand, we understand something about God's nature here. And he says it explicitly. And this isn't really parabolic. I mean, he uses his parable to emphasize because he says, I'm going to take a little twig off of this dying tree and I am going to nurture it along. And he said, I will exalt the humble and I will humble the exalted. This is God's nature. To humble the exalted and to exalt the humble. This is not to be, you don't walk away from this thinking, oh, God has the humble people over here that he likes and the exalted people, the proud people over here that he doesn't. That's not what he's saying. Everybody, because we are born in trespasses and sin, deals with exactly what Adam and Eve dealt with, and that is pride. We are very prideful people. It's all about us. We don't bend the knee to anything. Yeah, we can pay lip service to it. But when we defy that human nature, that fallen nature, when we defy it, and we bend the knee to God, and we worship him for who he is, not because of some better deal we think we're going to get, but just because he deserves it, because he's God. You ought to worship God even if you knew you were going to go to hell, because he's God. And guess what? That's that whole thing about every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. You can live in this life and embrace this false prophet and this philosophy, or you can just deny God outright. But in the end, everyone, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. Not to some abstract monotheistic God, but to Jesus Christ. Okay? We have to understand this because that shows humility. That shows, you know, I hear a lot of other things from this corner and that corner in this world. I have thought about this in my life and I still don't get this, that, or the other thing. But guess what? Because he says it, I am going to bend a knee to it. That's humbling yourself. And if you humble yourself, he will exalt you. Those who do not humble themselves, he will humble. This is what we learn about him in this little parable of three verses in the Old Testament. I said we learn about the church. How can you learn about the Catholic Church in an Old Testament parable? Well, what you got to do is you got to know your scriptures, and you take the Old Testament parable and you apply it to what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us and what St. Paul says afterwards, and you get the picture. The church. It says, God says, I will crop off a tender twig from the top of this desolate tree, this dead and dying tree, and I will plant it on a mountain high and eminent. For those of you who've ever done gardening, that's called a graft, okay? You can pull a little part off of a plant, you can stick it in dirt, and you water it, you fertilize it, everything. Guess what? It grows into a whole nother plant. An illustration. That's why God uses it. And he's using it here to talk about the church. The tree, the tall tree that is dying, dead in some parts, this dry tree is earthly Israel. The chosen people of God, who he called out of Egypt, who he said, here are my commandments, you live this way, and you will be blessed beyond your imagination, but if you turn your back on me, you will be cursed. And the cursings are over two times longer than the blessings. He gives that to us as a warning. So when we see this parable about him cutting off a little sprig from this dying tree, the dying tree is Israel, who has gone from being the chosen people of God to turning their back on him time and time and time again, worshiping idols, sacrificing their children at times to be like the people around them who are all up in law-keeping, who don't get it anymore. That's why the chief priests and the Pharisees can look at Jesus and say, speak to us plainly. They don't get the most simple explanations, much less him walking on water, raising dead people, curing the sick, making crippled people walk, all these things that they've seen. Teach us plainly. I have. You don't get it. Because they don't want to get it. Not because he's stopping their ears or it's his providence that they don't get it. He wants them to get it. They just won't. Because if they did, then all of a sudden they have to change the way they do things. And their positions may be in danger. Caiaphas says that explicitly when they're talking about turning Jesus over to the Romans. Hush up. Don't you know that one should die for the people? If we let this go on, the Romans will come in and we will lose our positions. They want to be the man. Prideful. We know through this parable that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to take a small remnant, a faithful remnant off of this dying tree, and he's going to plant it. And it is going to become the Catholic Church. Where do you get that? Like I said, this is where it comes into play of you knowing all the scriptures. Because if you read St. Paul in the Epistle of the Romans, chapters 9 through 11, speak extensively of this illustration of being grafted into the chosen people of God. That whole parable in John chapter 15 about being, he is the vine and we are the branches that have been grafted into him. This is the church. When you read about Israel in the scriptures, it's the church, whether it be Old or New Testament. It's the true Israel of God. Because I say it, no, because St. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 6. He is writing to the Catholics, and he says he's writing to the true Israel of God. Not an Israel that's caught up in circumcision and bloodlines, but an Israel that's caught up in appreciating the Messiah that God sent, the only Messiah that he's going to send, through whom all, he and he only can we come to the Father. It's the church, which Ezekiel talks about. It's a prophecy. It's something that's going to happen. To be part of this Israel of God, this is where we start talking about what you learn about yourself as an individual, because you are part of this Israel of God. You're not only a part of the tree itself, a member of the body of Christ, you are, as our Lord says, the dry tree who he has made green. I said before, when we are born, we hear the Holy Spirit teach us in the New Testament that we are born dead in trespasses and sins. We are that dead and dying tree. God takes the little vestiges of that image in which we are made, the likeness of image of God, and he waters it. He takes that little sprig that's left and he waters it. What an illustration. Baptism. Each and every one of us are baptized. That baptism is that initial watering after the planting. And then as we grow and we sprout, get some more leaves on us, We are continually nurtured through the means of grace that he's given us, particularly the sacraments, the Eucharist, the confessional, the Word of God, prayer. All those things nurture us, and we continue to grow and grow and grow. Also, he uses even a second illustration about us when he says the birds will make their nests in this tree that is the Catholic Church. We're those birds. What does a bird do? You know, different than everything else. They fly. We are the ones who will and have been provided the ability to rise up from away from earthly things, temporal considerations, and roost in comfort, resting and being secure in the branches of this church that he has planted, that far exceeds in scope the one from which he took the sprig. Look at what remains now of the ancient earthly Israel. It's nothing in comparison to the Catholic Church. This is what our Lord, of which he speaks. You can rest in her branches. You can be safe in her branches. That's what little birds do. Keeps them away from all the bad things that are around them, that can take them and eat them. We are safe and we are secure in the church. We should think of ourselves as being very, very special when it comes to what he's done for us in providing us a church, providing us a place for rest and for security. But even more so, we have to appreciate the fact that you are sitting here listening and learning about these things because it's a manifestation objectively of what he says. But apart, he explained all things to his disciples. He didn't take everybody aside and explain his parables. He gaffed off the Pharisees who wanted to be taught plainly, but he took his disciples aside and he taught them. Every time we read a parable, every time we sit back and prayerfully cogitate on what we have read or what we hear, that is Jesus Christ pulling you aside as his disciple and teaching you. How many billions of people on the face of this planet are belligerent toward what our Lord Jesus Christ says or ignore it absolutely, and you have been called to hear it. You have been called to have it explained to you through the ministry of this church that he planted. You see what you learn from these parables. Never look upon them as some child's Sunday school story. And I'm way beyond that. I read catechisms and I read theology books. That's a great thing. And you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ if you do. But you will glean just as much if you pay attention to what he says in his parables. In Father, and of Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.